Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm coming at you from Salt River Fields. Spring training is officially underway with the whole squad out here. Lots of trades to talk about, some signings. Diamondbacks made some big moves. They didn't get J.D. Martinez. He ended up signing a five-year, $110 million contract with the Red Sox. But they did end up getting some outfield depth. On Monday, Jared Dyson signed. That news broke after the Martinez news. But the reports are that the deal was made prior to the Martinez news breaking. Then late Tuesday, the Diamondbacks were a part of a three-team trade with the Yankees and the Rays. They acquired Steve Souza from the Rays in exchange for Anthony Bonda and two players that will be named later. And then they sent Brandon Drury to the Yankees for pitching prospect Taylor Widener. Big moves there. They've got that much-needed depth in the infield. How big were these trades and this signing?
I think it's huge because where we were standing in terms of outfield before this deal was David Peralta, A.J. Pollock, Yasmani Tomas, who, as I've said multiple times, a defensive liability out there, has had some health concerns. A.J. Pollock, two of the past 3 years, he's missed some significant time, so it's important to have that depth. You can also throw Chris Owings into that mix, as well as Jeremy Hazelbaker, but Dyson provides a guy that can play all three outfield positions. He has that speed. He is a veteran guy. Seems like he's good for the clubhouse. I was in the clubhouse earlier, and he was already interacting with the guys, and looks like they were having some fun. And then Steven Souza, he gives you that power bat that the Diamondbacks could survive without, but definitely thrive with. So, going the route of saving about close to $100 million and having Souza's him under control for 3 years is going to be huge. He made some really big strides this past year in terms of his pitch or his pitch analysis, his swing path and things like that, where he was really able to kind of open up the power. Had 30 home runs this past year in Tropicana, which is definitely a pitcher friendly ballpark. So I think between the two of them, that those are some good deals. And going into this offseason, Mike Hazen said they were going to have to get creative to improve this ball club. I think this is pretty darn creative, bringing in guys while camp is already opening up, making trades. But the interesting thing now is what's going to happen with the second base position, because Brandon Drury definitely logged a lot of time there. There is some depth in that middle infield where we might see a shortstop move over to second base to help kind of fit that puzzle as well, but that's going to be the interesting thing for me moving forward, seeing how second base now plays out.
You know, a lot of the stuff that I've read in the last few days about all this stuff, the Diamondbacks, the wording has been that the Diamondbacks missed out, or the Diamondbacks are replacing J.D. Martinez. But I think with the guys that they've just signed, they're very different players in the outfield than J.D. Martinez. And like you mentioned, Souza has that power bat that, yeah, might not be what J.D. Martinez's was last year in the second half of the season, but the speed that Souza has in the outfield, the speed that he has on the bases, is definitely going to be an advantage that wasn't necessarily there with Martinez.
And I think if you were expecting J.D. Martinez and the J.D. Martinez that came to the Diamondbacks last year, even if they re-signed J.D. Martinez, you were going to be disappointed.
Right.
That was an otherworldly performance, one of the best half seasons that I've ever seen. So even if they re-sign J.D. Martinez, you can't put those expectations on him because it's just not sustainable. So bringing in two guys that play defense, while Souza is known for his bat, but he's also an above-average right fielder that also probably moves David Peralta to left field, which Torrey Lovello has said he likes him there better than right field. He thinks he's at his strongest when he's in left field. I think these additions are very strong and definitely improve the ball club while not having to break the bank. And this is there are two deals that over the next 2 years, you know what you're getting in Steven Souza Jr. and Dyson.
So Dyson, staying on the topic of him real quick, he's ranked second in Major League Baseball with an 84% stolen base percentage. That's since 2012. On Monday, he talked to the, or I'm sorry, Tuesday, he talked to the media. Here's what he had to say about doing your homework on pitchers.
I mean, you got to do your homework on pitchers at the same time. It's not like I'm just going out there running. You know, like I said, I got a lot of experience with Rusty Koontz in Kansas City organization. Just learning tips on pitchers, and that would make it easier when you get out there. So if you don't do your homework, it's going to be tough. You know, you're just running with speed, and I don't like to do that. I like to at least have my homework done and have an idea when I get out there. So make it much easier to run.
And I was able to catch up with Torrey Lovello yesterday at Cactus League Media Day and just talk about what the role of the stolen base plays in this Diamondback offense and how crucial it is and how Dyson could help them out in that regard.
Well, we feel very strongly that it can be disruptive to the pitcher and his rhythm, and we want to make sure that we're doing it successfully and we're not just running because we feel like we can't steal a base. We're going to run because we know we can steal a base. So our success rate, our percentage, our goal is 80%. If we can get to 80%, we feel like it's going to be a net positive and score some extra runs. So we spent a lot of time researching, developing a strategy, and coming up with a game plan. So when the game starts, we know full well what we're going to try and do. We're going to try and execute and out-game plan the opposition. I mean, his speed speaks for itself. We know that we're very well versed on what he's capable of doing. I know he's got over 200 stolen bases, if I can just remember off the top of my head. So I know for a fact, when I use that word disruptive, I know for a fact that when I was sitting in the opposing dugout, when he got on base, things became very disruptive. And it can be that type of a distraction that's going to cause a pitcher to make a half-inch mistake. And that's when our offense is going to take over and score some runs.
He also said on Tuesday that they use Dyson as an example when talking about base running to the team. So he said now to have him on the team, it's going to have to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. So they'll kind of say, refer to him as your teammate, this is how he's doing it, and then get to see it firsthand. So that's interesting. You mentioned earlier that second base position. With Brandon Drury going to the Yankees, it's going to create one less player of competition, I guess you could say. What at that position stands out to you most now that there's only about four guys competing for that spot instead of five?
I think it's going to be probably a platoon between Daniel Descalzo and Chris Owings, should he be healthy. Owings was definitely in the mix for shortstop, but he's played second before. You have Ketel Marte, who could also move over to second base, and then Nick Ahmed, who's getting back from injury, had a tough season in terms of health-wise at the shortstop position. So I think that's probably the way they'll go, at least as it's drawn up right now. Who knows? They could pull off another deal. There's some good talent left still in the free agent pools. So I think that's probably a route. It'll be interesting to see the number of games that Descalzo gets. He played all over the infield last year. And same goes for Owings. We saw him in the infield, in the outfield, just kind of everywhere. So I think unless you have one of these younger guys get called up, a Leyba, a Vargas, a Reinheimer, I think it's probably – historically, at least, based on what we've seen in the past, it could be an Owings-Descalzo kind of platoon.
What about at the end of the 2017 season, there was some talk about Owings being a utility guy, mm-hmm. so playing some outfield. Now that they've made these changes and gotten this outfield depth, how do you think that utility role that they talked about Owings being and will be affected?
I think he'll probably still be a utility guy, but just more an infield-based utility guy. Listen, you can also throw Chris Hermann out in the outfield as well. Mm-hmm. So there's what was a very thin position is now a position of depth for the Diamondbacks with these two moves. So they've done a nice job addressing that. And I think Chris Owings, look, what we've seen over the years is he'll play any of the infield positions aside from first base. He's done that historically, but mainly in the middle infield. And when they were really in a pinch, he learned center field on the fly when they were really thin. The first time A.J. Pollock went down with a major injury. So it's a nice luxury to have, and I think that that's something that they really were able to thrive with when the proverbial S hit the fan last year at the shortstop position with Owings going down and Ahmed. They had those guys that they could fill in who play multiple positions, and Lovello was sort of able to mix and match that. I think they're continuing to try to do that with the outfield flexibility they just got with Dyson, who again can play all three outfield positions, and now continuing to add guys who can play those multiple positions.
As I mentioned, we're officially a full week into spring training. The whole squad is out at Salt River Fields. What have you seen in this first week that has stood out to you?
Well, I spent a lot of time following around Anthony Bonda to see how he was growing. Actually, it was pretty excited about the feature I was putting together for that. He has since been traded, so that's never going to see the light of day. But I was keeping track of the pitchers and really just kind of how the new guys assimilated mm-hmm. into the Diamondbacks, watching Alex Avila, get to work with Jeff Mathis and the other pitchers, Robbie Hammack, who works a lot with the catchers as well, and just seeing how some of these guys, Brad Boxberger, Yoshi Hirano, how they interact as well. I think that's the important part when the pitchers and catchers report, and then you have this full team. So much of the spring training portion is the conditioning's already happened for them this offseason. They're already in pretty good shape. So it's not so much getting them up and running. If you're trying to get them up and running physically, you're already in trouble. It's about getting to know the rest of your team. So that's kind of the thing I've been trying to keep track of.
And you mentioned that that's what stood out to me is these guys haven't missed a beat, it seems. Yeah, they've gotten their offseason conditioning in. This is training, getting back in, going back to the basics and all of that. But everything's light. That's the great thing about spring training. Everything's light. Everyone's having fun, getting back with your teammates, and like you said, integrating those new guys and showing them how it's done here in Arizona and how this club works. And I think that was such a figure last season with the family aspect. And these guys have come back, and you already are seeing that family aspect again.
Totally, yeah. And that's going to need to continue to grow because there are going to be ups and downs. But as we talked about so much last season, there's a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And, when you're in the middle of those downs, it seems like it's tough to dig out of those. So Torrey's always preached the family aspect. Hazen has done a nice job compiling a roster of guys that not only are compatible on the field, but in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely a plus for the Diamondbacks moving forward.
That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Keep it on sports360az.com for all of your baseball coverage.